You're listening to Power Producers Shop Talk, where we are refining and redefining the sales game by equipping you with the tools you need to differentiate yourself in the marketplace.
Well, it's like when we audit the mod with Mod Advisor and are able to give them the action items that they're going to use to lower their total cost of risk.
Tactical skills that will help you provide deliverable value to your clients and prospects.
It's going to be a great year in 2022 at Florida Risk Partners now that IPFS is in the game with their total pay strategy. We can write excess and surplus lines and completely remove the agency bill from our agency. People, if you're not using Total Pay by IPFS, you're definitely leaving money on the table.
And action items that you can provide to take your prospects and clients to the next level.
Having partners like Mineral only bolsters the fact that your clients do not care about the insurance. It's all of the value that you're able to add. And with partners like Mineral, who can help with both HR and environmental health and safety, we can't help but win.
This is Power Producers Shop Talk. Production redefined. Are you ready to feel the power?
What's up, everybody? You might want to go ahead and slow this thing down from 2.0 to 1.0 on the listen speed, because I've got Bob Paskins back with me again this week for episode number 4, and we're putting the capstone on the Paskins Sessions, talking to you about moving from presentation to close. Now, I don't know what Bob's going to tell you. I'm being completely honest with you here, and he and I want to make sure that we're on the same page, but I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there that my ideas in terms of how we approach things and when we enter may be completely different. And guess what? That's okay. That's why we're bringing you another flavor. I'm not telling you that when we do things the way we normally talk about, that it is 100% of the time. Part of the job that we have is to be flexible and adapt when things change. And if anybody here has worked a middle market commercial account, the one thing every one of us knows is things change. So without further introduction, Mr. Bob Paskins.
Oh, great. Darren, I love this. We are on our fourth session, the close aspect of this. Again, quick recap. We went from what is it to have a lead to go to a suspect. Then what does it mean to have a suspect and move a suspect to a prospect, and then a prospect to a presentation. And here we are, the presentation to the close. So for me, when I take a look at this, I look at basically three, and I might throw in a fourth one there with time, but three things I look to do when I look to close. The first one is simply this. You have to, when you're looking to close, keep your eyes open for any type of objections out there. When you're doing the presentation, you're ready to go. But you know what? I'll tell you something. And I've done hundreds of deals. David has done hundreds of deals. You know what's happened to every single time? At some point or another, there is an objection. So what are you able to do at this point? You've done your presentation. You think you've done everything right. And they come up with an objection. What do you look to do? I think this is very key to be able to figure out how you nimbly move through objections. That's kind of the first thing that I want to take a look at here. Because yes, objections are going to arise. How do you handle them? What is your response? I mean, you could do kind of what the three F's are. Are you the type that flees? Are you the type that fights? Or are you the type that freezes? And again, when we took a look at this—
Bob, I'm the fourth F. I'm the type that figures it out.
Figures it out. Nice. Beautiful. That to me is the fight aspect of it. I'm going to fight right there. We're going to figure it out together. So typically what I like to do with objections is to make sure I understand what the objections are. And before I do that, I want to say, when I hear objections, I don't know about you, David, I smile. I almost welcome them, because objections still mean that they're in the fight with you to turn them from prospect to client. So what I want you to do is get rid of the word objection, or when you think of the word objection, think of the word opportunity instead. Because what they have been able to do is they have provided something that hopefully you can clarify or solve that position to be able to help them out. So don't run from objections. Don't freeze from objections. You want to figure it out or fight your way through those objections.
And I think it's important that you do that in an empathetic fashion, right? So I think that objections make producers until, you know, you get old and calloused like the two of us are with our skin ultra thick.
Yeah.
You know, I think it does make them freeze. I think it makes them flee or it makes them freeze. And, you know, I think that I'm going to give you some really real practical advice. Number one, I think most people, especially younger, newer to the game, you just don't even know where to go with it. You don't know what to ask. You don't know how to respond. So it's easier just to tuck tail and run, and you don't have to deal with it anymore. This is where I go and recommend everybody go buy Never Split the Difference by Chris Voss and read it. Because 100% of the time when somebody gives me that objection, I'm going to mirror them. I'm going to say the last two or three things. Yes. Listen, this is a great thing for us to do right now, but we're just too busy. Just too busy. I want them to tell me why they're too busy. What are the things that are going on? And so I may mirror them two or three times, but then it's really, really important that you close the loop and you go back and label what's going on so that they know that you heard them and that you understand that. And those aren't things like I hear you or I see what you're saying or I understand. You have to leave I out of the conversation, because the second you put I into that conversation, it became about you instead of about them. So I may mirror and they say, too busy. Well, yeah, you know, we've got this capital intensive move. We're getting ready to change locations and get into the new building. And I just don't have the time. Just don't have the time? Well, yeah, you know, I'm doing this. It sounds like you could probably use every dollar you can find if it's a capital intensive move. It feels like maybe we're just having a little bit of a disconnect, because in my mind, this problem's able to be fixed.
Right.
Where do we go from here? Like, talk to me. Tell me what's going on. And like a lot, like I had this happen to me on an account one time. I was not nearly as slick in my early days in the industry. I was more in your face. And the guy told me, he's like, I'd like to move forward, but we're in a capital intensive move. We're getting ready to relocate half the company. I'm like, wouldn't you need the money more for that than any other time? Like, what are we talking about here? This is $100,000 I just found in your operation. That's going to fund a few moving trucks.
That's it. Yes.
Right? But I think that young David probably could have won more deals if he was as slick as older David is. But you got to be young David before you can be older David. And now I look back at some of the things that I did on deals that I didn't get, and I laugh to myself, because it's like, I could have probably closed that if I would have done this, this, and this. But I mean, that brings up another point. I don't want to go down the rabbit hole, but that's why reflection is so important, people.
Yes.
We talk about visualization and casting a forward vision on how we're going to succeed. Let's not forget about looking back on the wins that we've had. And I've talked about this. I talked about this in my book, in probably both books. I've talked about it on the podcast before. I talk about it when I get up and speak. I have every agent of record letter I've ever gotten in a 3-ring binder. Every time I get one, I put it in a 3-ring binder. And why do I do that? It's not so I can pull it out at insurance conferences and show everybody how thick my binder is. It's because I know that there's going to come a time in my journey that I'm going to hit a dry patch. Just like if I'm a baseball player, if I get in a hitting slump, what am I going to do? I'm going to go back and look at film. Yes. I'm going to find out what it was I was doing in my batting stance. What was my pitch selection? Where was I looking for the ball in the zone? And our job is no different. I can go back on those AORs and I can think about it. Who did I meet with? How did I get this deal done? What was the pain they were having? What were the objections thrown at me? How did I overcome it? And then all of a sudden I realize it's just like not going to the gym one time. You don't go once, you don't go for 3 years. If you take something out of your game, you may forget to ever put it back. And unless you're going back and reflecting on past successes to help propel you forward, you may have something that you've left out that never gets back in that's an absolute gem.
Yeah, I love that. I love reflecting back on that past, because what I like to do, this is a whole different seminar that I do, we don't get into that, is every single broker of record letter, let me ask you a question. Does every single broker of record letter reflect a story that shows how you want a piece of business?
Absolutely, it does.
And then if you reflect on it, you can remember, okay, it's this particular story here, which could be very similar to the account that I'm working on right now. And let me tell you a story about XYZ here, that manufacturing, and they had the exact same problem. I call those victory stories. Every single account that you win has a corresponding victory story attached to it. And if you are able to pull from your database or even remember and rehearse those victory stories, it can get you to show how you helped other people to get more wins. So, and I think that's great with objections, which is what we're talking about. Chris Both's book is excellent because really what you're doing with this mirroring, which I agree, is you're trying to clarify that objection. And by mirroring that back to them, it clarifies, which I think.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact you don't have to remember a question. You don't have to be an expert of overcoming the objection. You just have to listen and repeat the last two or three words. That's it.
Right. The other thing that I like, and I pair what Chris Both, and you're right, I agree, never split the difference. Here's a bonus thing. If you have not read that out here, podcast listeners, pick it up. Chris Both. It's an excellent book on that.
Oh, take it one step further. If you really want the experience, buy Masterclass. Wait till Father's Day to do it because they run buy one, get one free every year. But Voss's thing on Masterclass is worth the entire subscription.
Yes. Great. All right. So enough endorsement. Hopefully we'll get a residual check from Chris. Anyway, where we are with this is the objection. Yeah. So you've mirrored. And then what I always like to do is ask a clarifying question. You know, kind of two different questions. One of the questions that I like to ask is, what makes you say that? And I love that question because what it does is, first of all, it's a very simple question. You don't have to remember that, but it puts them on the defense where they have to justify their objection to you. And if you ask them, it's funny, a lot of the times, oh yeah, I don't want to do that. That's so expensive. Well, what makes you say that? Well, I heard from so-and-so that this and this and this, it could be a whole lot more money. Oh, okay. Well, have you ever practically gone down that? No, it's all kind of been hearsay. Ah, great. Because at that point, if you're able to get the emotion out of their objection and to really narrow that down to figure out what it actually is, you're able to clarify that and move forward. And my clarifying piece is simply this. Well, great. If we're able to take care of the time, as you say there, is there anything else that we have to worry about? And they might say, no, that's really it. Okay, great. Let's focus on the time. Let's find a way around this to show you how, as you say, the $100,000 that you could work with us can help you with the moving trucks. But for me, I always, yeah, exactly. I want to mirror them. I want to clarify where they are, and then we can proceed. But going back one step, as we're looking to close this out, that's the first thing. We have to figure out on how to overcome objections, turn objections into opportunities. So that's the biggest thing. And then I think the second, and both of us have kind of talked about this, is we can almost close at any time. Sometimes we can close before the deal. Sometimes we can close during the deal. Sometimes, shoot, maybe the deal's gone, but they still are talking to us and we can close after the deal. I want you to keep that in mind. You can close at any time. First appointment, midway through the process, final presentation, post-presentation when they found someone else which didn't measure up to what they wanted. You have to keep your mind open that you can close this loop at any time and be open to that. So I'm sure you've had stories like that too, where they've went with someone else 30 days later. Great. They want to work with you now. I think that's finally.
I mean, how many times do you get that call and it starts out with, I knew I should have gone with you. Please don't hate me. But here's what we're dealing with.
Here's what we're dealing with now.
And I'm absolutely going to take that call. Of course I am, man. I've already got rapport. All the hard work's already been done. They've already bought. At that point, they've bought from me.
Yes.
It's just a matter of finalizing the deal.
Yeah, I agree. So that's the next thing. Realize you can close at any time. When I look to close, it's basically, I'm going to try to summarize that problem up, the objection up again. And if we're able to summarize it up, I ask the question, when do you want to proceed? So we're going to ask kind of this closing question of, great, because we are able to do this and this and this, you know, are we ready to go? Are you ready to take this step forward? and ask for the business. When I work with newer producers, and I work with them all the time with my Catalyst training program, it is amazing how many of them don't ask for the business. You have to ask at the end a very direct question of, great, are you ready to proceed? Do you want to move forward with this? It's a quick yes or no question, but you finally get them to commit. It gets missed a lot of the time. And I've worked with agents all of the time. Shoot, when I was shadowing and coaching agents, there was a guy named Adam. He did everything right, except he was afraid at the last bit to ask for business.
So it's funny, man. My little girl is 10 years old, and all my kids get the same treatment. If they come to me for anything and they're beating around the bush, my immediate response, and it drives my wife nuts, is quit beating around the bush. If you want the order, you have to ask for the order, period. So it's funny. My little girl at 10 years old, she has no problem asking for the order.
They said, and I am pulling the stat there, I think it was 68% of people do not ask for the business at the end of the sales presentation. If you take anything from the 4-part series that I've done, at least take this. When you get to the end, ask for the business. A direct question. How do you want to proceed? Are you ready to go? Should we put the paperwork together? Great.
Where would you like me to send the paperwork?
Where would you like me to send the paper? Do you want to sign here? Whatever that is, you've got to ask that question when you're closing out that.
Kind of the whole reason you're doing the whole thing.
You don't get paid. Up until this point, you have not gotten paid.
No.
Don't get paid. The money question is, great, are you ready to move forward with business? That closing question. And then once they say yes, you can start to get paid. But everything comes up to that. So yeah, so that's kind of the big three is, again, you're going to run into objections. We talked about that. How do we overcome objections, move them into opportunities? Second, you have to make sure when it is time for closing that you ask that closing question. Third, which we talked about, you can close it anytime. First meeting, middle meeting, presentation, even post meeting. That's what I would look to do. You have to look at those periods of time. Then the fourth thing that you need to do is make sure you deliver on what you say. If you're going to do, you know, these things 90 days out, you're doing them. If you're doing them, you know, maybe within 24 hours, you're doing them within 24 hours. The best thing that you can do to galvanize that relationship is to make sure that you do what you say when you say you are. As part of the close, it doesn't stop with the signature. In some cases, the work just begins. And you have to make sure that you are doing that work moving forward that you said you were. So that's what I have for closing. We're probably on the same line there, David. Anything you want to throw in there?
No, I mean, pretty much right on point with what I believe and what we do.
Great. All right.
I feel like at the end of church camp, when you know you're going home and you're going to miss everybody you spent the last week with, we literally just recorded all four of these in a row. And I got to tell you, it's been awesome. I think that the real winners here are the people who got to hear this stuff. I can tell you sincerely, follow Bob. He's a good follow on LinkedIn. He puts on all kinds of events and lives, and he's got a newsletter, and just, I'm constantly seeing Bob. So I know he's there, you know, and I would recommend that you take the time to reach out to him and get into his ecosystem, because he's going to challenge the way you think. And listen, I think the absolute best salespeople follow multiple people who have already walked in their shoes. Just because right. I do it one way doesn't mean that that same style and approach works. The framework's the same for all of us, man, for the most part, with minor little tweaks. And if Bob's dialect is more appealing to you, I'm good with that. That's okay. I'd rather you be with somebody that you're going to make forward progress with than hold it against me that we don't connect. So there you go. Bob, thank you so much for coming on, man. Really appreciate you taking time out of your schedule, and look forward to having these drop in the next couple of weeks. anything else you want to share with them about how to connect with you or places they can go for more before we kill this?
The best thing, of course, is either LinkedIn for me, Bob Paskins. I think I'm the only one there, or go to my website, which is simply bobpaskins.com. We have great programs to be able to help either insurance agencies or even what I love is these producers who have to be reminded of these four steps. So again, the website or LinkedIn. David, let me say thank you very much. I love your podcast. I recommend that. Shoot, last week, I recommended it to two people who said, who should I listen to you besides yourself? And I said, top of the list, reach out to the Power Producers with David Carruthers. So
I appreciate that, man. Thank
you very much. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Everybody else, I don't know where we go from here, but we'll be back next week. See ya.
Been listening to Power Producers Shop Talk. You can follow us at the Power Producers Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. And if you want to take your game to the next level, check out our commercial insurance training course at killingcommercial.com or visit Amazon to pick up a copy of our international best-selling book, The Extra 2 Minutes.